and that I shall be saved. Father, I ask you to fill me with the Holy Ghost and fire. Father, create in me a clean heart and renew in me the right spirit. I cast all my cares, spiritually, mentally, bills, debt, circumstance, haters, relationship, family. I cast it all on you because you told me to. For the battle is yours. But the victory is mine.
Praise the Lord, radio listeners. Evangelist Lonnie Celestine. I want to thank God today. We just want to give thanks, first of all, to my covering, Pastor Johnny and Dr. Pamela Drumgold. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And we also want to give thanks to Dr. Casey Wade. Amen. One of the best doctors in the world who's going to pray with you and pray for you. Need a good doctor, go see Casey. We want to thank God also, giving a shout out to Staggs Automotive, 1300 Thomas Road. Amen. If you need any parts for a car, or even if you need a car, go to Staggs, 1300 Thomas Road. God bless you in the name of Jesus. Last but not least, Service Master, Brent Alexander, 50761. We want to give a shout out to him and to all of you out there that are praying for me. I know you're listening in Jesus' name. Whatever you desire to do to be a blessing to this ministry, most important thing, continue to pray for us, and you can write us at P.O. Box 9383. That's Evangelist Lonnie Celestine, P.O. Box 9383, Monroe, Louisiana, 71211. Or call us at 318-503-4710. And may the Lord richly bless you in Jesus' name.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Thank you for tuning in to the radio ministry of the Church of Jesus Christ House of Prayer, located in Leesville, Louisiana, the place where the Spirit and anointing, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, abides in abundance. The Church of Jesus Christ House of Prayer is located at 1100 Nona Street at the intersection of Nona and Barone. And now, to our Bishop, with an anointed sermon already in progress, Bishop Tommy Morris.
Amen. Giving honor tonight to Christ Jesus. We thank God for the founding of this great organization. Amen. And the one that's been right by his side since day one. Our founder and co-founder this organization, Bishop and Mother Marbury, we give him a hand clap of praise tonight, everybody. We thank them for standing. We thank you tonight, Lord God. We thank you for their children, dear God, for they have been there too. And I truly thank God, amen, for my family tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. I thank God for each and every one of you. I truly thank our guest tonight is back out with us again tonight, amen. We thank God for y'all being here again tonight with us, amen. How many of you ready to hear the word tonight, amen? Amen. We're going to give you what God gave me tonight. Amen. Then we're going to get out of your way. Amen. You may have your seats if you can. On your way to your seat, say, glory be to God. God, I love you. And God, I need you. Amen. Amen. Now put your hand together right where you're sitting at tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. He's worthy. Amen. And worthy to be praised in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to give you just what he gave me. Many times, amen, when you think of a cliff, you automatically think of what? A place, an edge, or something over and beyond, high rock, on the other side of high rock, or something to that extent. Amen. That's what you think about when you think of cliff. But there's another definition, amen, to cliff. I can remember, amen, in basic training long time ago, and One of the commands they taught us when they taught us how to march was, if you come into the edge of a cliff, there was one command that would be given to you to make you scatter. And that word was gas, 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 gas. If you hear the word gas, 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 that means get out of step, scatter, do whatever you got to do to get out of the way. Gas is chemical attack, or something that, you know, you need to protect the mask on for, amen. So that leads me to the definition of this word cliff tonight, amen. Because that command was given because we was about to face some type of danger. So tonight, amen, as we talk about cliff, I want you to put it into this perspective, amen. A critical point or situation beyond which something bad or undesirable is about to happen. Let me read it again. A critical point, which means critical means it has to absolutely be paid attention to. A critical point or a situation, amen, beyond which something bad or undesirable is going to happen. Something bad or undesirable is going to happen. And if I had to, amen, choose a topic tonight, amen, for the message that God has given me to give you, it would simply be, amen, avoid the cliff. Avoid the cliff. Heavenly Father, most gracious God, we come before you right now, dear Jesus. Father, as a humble servant right now, Father God, to be used, dear God, that your word may be delivered to your people tonight. Father, as I stand here tonight, dear God, I'm a willing vessel, dear God, to be used by you and only by you, dear God, as I speak tonight, dear God. Father, I pray right now, dear God, that every word that proceeded out of my mouth be a word that you have given me to give to your people tonight, dear God. Father, we thank you, we magnify you, we give you honor tonight, dear God, glory. And Father, we give all the praise that's rightfully yours to you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. Come on and give God a hand clap of praise. A critical point or situation beyond which something bad or undesirable is about to happen. In other words, tonight, amen, we're talking about troubles in your life that we can avoid, amen. We're talking about, amen, sin that can be avoided tonight in your life. Let's go to the scriptures, amen. We'll be coming from two passages tonight. The first one will be coming from the book of James, amen, the first chapter, amen, the 12th through the 17th verse, amen. You go ahead and find that, and then flip back a couple of books, amen, to Matthew's, the 18th chapter, amen. And I'm gonna see what he give me out of Matthew's, amen. But we're gonna go to Matthew's, the 18th chapter. I think our focal point would be the 12th through the 14th, but I think he's gonna give me something else in that chapter, amen. James, the first chapter, starting with the 12th. We're going through, amen, the 17th verse. Read.
Amen. 12th verse. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation.
Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. In other words, when something comes to you that's not right, that's undesirable, that's a critical point in a situation you got to make a decision about. Come on.
For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him.
That love him. God made us a promise. Amen. Come on.
Let no man say when he is tempted.
Let no man say that when he is tempted. Come on.
I am tempted of God.
I am tempted of God. Why?
For God cannot be tempted with evil.
God cannot be tempted with either and.
Neither tempteth he any man.
Neither does he tempt any man with anything evil. God do not tempt you to do anything, amen, that is wrong. He do not tempt you with evil. He do not tempt you with evil speak, amen, bad communication, amen. He do not tempt you with any of these things. Come on.
But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust.
Every man is tempted when?
He is drawn away of his own lust.
When he's drawn away by what he wants to do anyway. When they have it in their heart, what they're going to do anyway. Tonight, amen, we want to talk to you for a little while, amen, about avoiding the cliff. Avoiding the critical point or situation beyond which something bad or undesirable is about to happen. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust. Come on.
And enticed.
Come on, what the 15th verse say?
Then when lust hath conceived.
When lust has conceived.
It bringeth forth sin.
It bringeth forth sin.
And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death.
Bringeth forth death.
Do not err, my beloved brethren.
Do not make a mistake, my brethren. Come on.
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above.
Everything that's good and perfect is from God. Come on.
And cometh down from the Father of lights.
Uh-huh.
With whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning.
Come on.
Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth.
Come on.
That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures.
Yes.
Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear.
Let us be swift to hear.
Slow to speak.
Slow to speak.
Slow to wrath.
Good. That's good right there. Why the word say be a man swift to hear? In other words, hear quickly. Slow to speak. Think about the things you say. That's good for now. Think about the things, amen, that comes out of your mouth. Hear what the word of God is saying to us. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. What is wrath? Anger. The word of God says, amen, let no man say when he is tempted that I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. Now here's what happens when it's taking place. Out of the blue, something triggers your attention. Something grabs your eye. Something causes you to focus on it. It could be a memory about something, amen. It could be a billboard that you see. It could be something that someone told you, or something that someone reminded you of, or something that you've seen before in your lifetime, or something that took place with you, amen, when you was a child, or something that didn't take place with you, amen, when you was a child. But the thing is, something triggers something in your mind that causes you, amen, to think about that memory all over again. In other words, something takes place, and that something that's taking place is called the hook. The hook is designed to grab you. Just like in fishing. You can't fish with just a piece of line by itself. You got to have a what? A hook. You got to have a hook. Amen. So the thing that captures your eye, the thing that draws your attention, the thing that caused you to focus on it, just became the hook. But keep in mind, amen, that let no man say that when he is tempted of God. Because God cannot tempt you, and he will not tempt you, with anything that is a hook of evil. He will not tempt you with anything, amen, that will cause you to draw away from him. Amen. He will not tempt you with things, amen, that's going to cause you, amen, to sin. He's not going to do that. He's not going to do it. So then the story begins. The things start playing, amen, in your mind. The trigger that took place, amen, just became a replay that's going on in your mind. And then every time this happens and every time this takes place, amen, you may be reminded, amen, of something that you haven't been able to conquer yet in life. And then you may say to yourself, here we go again. All over again. It's taking place again. But I come tonight to let you know and to tell you, amen, that God is able to keep you. He's able to bring you through every storm, every trial, every temptation, amen, that Satan tried to use against you, amen. God is able, amen. If we put our trust in him, believe in him with all our heart, and lean not to our own understanding, amen, God can see us through. Then when your story begins to play, amen, you find yourself trying to fight the situation. You're trying to find yourself to fight the situation. But how many know it's very hard to fight something that you just gave approval to be done.
Come on.
It's hard to fight something that you just allowed permission, you just gave permission to take place. It's hard for you to turn around and fight it. You have to condition your mind. You have to condition your mind that you're not going to be a part of something. You're not going to allow it to take you out. You're not going to allow it, amen, to be in control of your life. And the thing about it is, when this thing takes place, amen, this temptation we just got through talking about, when temptation hits, amen, the choice to actively do something wrong, that's what a temptation is. It's an opportunity to do something wrong. It's an opportunity, amen, to do something wrong. And then something to say to you, amen, that you deserve this. It'll be all right. It's okay. They will understand. You will understand. You haven't conquered this yet. It's okay. Just like the devil tempted them in the beginning. God knows that if you eat of this tree, amen, you would know just as much as he knows. Something triggers, amen, and tell you that it's going to be okay. And then here we go again. All over again. Then what happens? The temptation is set into motion. Remember, we're talking about you don't have to fall off the cliff. We're talking about avoiding the situations that put you, amen, at a point where something bad is about to happen. And a lot of times, amen, you say to yourself, amen, something telling me not to do it. That's the spirit. Because the devil's not going to ever tell you not to do something that's wrong. So that little something is the word, the spirit of God telling you, your conscience, we say, is telling you not to do it, amen. And they always say, follow your first mind. Follow your conscience, amen. Then the crime is set into motion. The sin is set into motion, amen. There's an actual place and times, or perhaps even a person, amen, that can cause you, you might say, to fall into diverse temptations. Next, you try to resist the fact. And then that's the point where you reach, amen, that you can't fight sin you've given yourself permission to conduct. It's hard. You can do it, but your mind has to be conditioned. Your mind has to be conditioned. That is why, amen, we have to feed our spirit more than our flesh. We have to continue to feed our spirit more than our flesh. Because the more you feed your spirit, amen, the stronger you will become when those temptations come to you. You'll be able to resist. You'll be able to say, get thee behind me, Satan.
Amen, sir.
You'll be able to stand on the word of God. You'll be able, amen, to go through that, amen, and be that even that much stronger. Amen. How many of you know, amen, that the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy? He don't want you to avoid no cliff. And just as the illustration I gave you earlier, amen, about basic training, the drill sergeants was hard, tough, rough. If you got out of step for anything, you subject to get restarted because you couldn't march. Matter of fact, we had a guy named Johnson, got restarted, couldn't march. The day we graduated, I seen him at the back of another formation, still trying to learn how to march. But it was all about structure until something bad was about to happen. They didn't allow you to fall into a situation that was becoming something bad. If you don't know anything else we're teaching you here, when you fall, you find yourself at the point of that cliff, you just yell gas and everybody out here know to scatter. Get away from this situation. And if we had a word, amen, in our lives today, amen, that every time we find ourselves tempted, that we can say, and it just scatters like that, I wish we had it. Because it definitely needs to be used. Because the devil's on a prowl like never before.
Yes, sir.
Well, I tell you what, he's always been on the prowl.
Yes.
But it seemed like, amen, he's just coming more and more to light and more things is taking place and more things are becoming more important than, amen, than God, amen, and his word and his way of life and how he commanded us to live Everything around us is getting more and more important than that. And at the same time, more and more things is taking place around us. More and more things is just in the news and everything else. And if we don't be mindful, amen, of the cliff, we will fall off.
Amen, sir.
And the thing about falling off a cliff, if you think about a natural cliff, the bottom is way down there. And it's hard to climb back up.
Yes, Jesus.
It's hard to fall. It's hard to climb out of a valley that you've fallen off of a cliff. And the same thing when we continue to do the same things over and over. We continue to sin against God over and over. Now, of course, we repent.
Yes, Jesus.
But we got to look at what's going to make us better.
Yes, sir.
What I need to do, amen, to make me stronger that I can resist this even the more.
Yes,
man, the 18th chapter of St. Matthew's, if you really study that and look at what God is saying to us in his word, it's really teaching us about how to conduct ourselves. It's telling us about conduct, amen. It's telling us how to conduct ourselves. Matter of fact, let's go to the first verse. Let's go to the first verse. Come on. First verse, read.
Matthew, the 18th chapter, beginning at the first verse.
Uh-huh.
At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus,
uh-huh,
saying,
mm-hmm,
who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?
Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Come on.
And Jesus called a little child unto him,
uh-huh,
and set him in the midst of them,
uh-huh,
and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children,
uh-huh,
ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Uh-huh.
Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
The same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. This is where Jesus states, amen, in order for us to be great in heaven, we need to act like a little child. A child, amen, depends totally upon who? Their parents. A small child depending upon their parents for everything. Amen. To teach them right way, to provide for them, to nourish them, amen, to make sure they stay out of trouble, amen, to help them with their homework. All these things a little child depends on the parent. Well, the same thing, that's the same way God looks at us as his children. He's there for us for everything that we need. He's there to help us through. He's there to show us the right way, and he's given us a guide to go by. He's given us his laws. He's given us his word, amen. He is showing us, and then he says, amen, that God wants us to have an attitude towards him. Most children, amen, look to their parents for answers for everything. Even if they feel, I mean, the parents supposed to know everything, and little kids are.
Yes, sir.
I can remember one time, amen, one of the boys asked me a question, and I said, I don't know. And the first thing they said to me was, well, why don't you know, Daddy? You've been to school. They expect for you to know everything. So I'm saying it to say that we can go to Christ Jesus with whatever situation it is, whatever we've been going through, however we may feel, he's going to have an answer for us. He's going to be there for us regardless of if no one else ever will be. He's going to be there. Come on, read.
Fifth verse. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name,
uh-huh,
receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea.
Drowned in the depth of the sea. Now, a millstone was about 18 inches in diameter, and it was 3 inches thick. In other words, it's pretty heavy. Something that's 3 inches thick, and put something around your neck and dropped you to the bottom of the sea, do you think you'll be able to get up? So that's how God feels about his children when the devil tries to do whatever he wants to do with us.
Yes.
But we have a responsibility towards that also. And that is to maintain faith in him, to trust in him for all things, to believe that he will be able to do it. Amen. And to know, just like a child goes to their natural parents, that my God has it. My God is going to take care of me. My God has all the answers.
All right.
Our responsibility to trust in him with all that's within our heart.
Amen.
Lean not to our own understanding.
Yes, Lord.
And know that he is able, amen, to bring us through. Come on, what the word say?
Woe unto the world because of offenses.
Woe. God is warning us, amen, that offenses is going to come. Trouble is all around us. Each and every day of our lives, it's all around us. But he said, whoa, come on.
For it must needs be that offenses come.
Uh-huh.
But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh.
Uh-huh.
Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee.
In other words, what the word is saying here is that anything that becomes a, God is telling us and teaching us, amen, that stumbling blocks are going to cause problems in our relationship with him. And anything that's causing a problem with your relationship with him, get rid of it.
Yes, Jesus.
The word of God is saying that if there's anything that's causing you to stumble, not trust and believe in him,
yes,
not have faith in him, that's causing you from reaching him, that's stopping you from praying with him, that's stopping you from fasting with him, that's stopping you from reading his word, amen, studying his word, anything, amen, he said, get rid of it. If it be your eye, pluck it out. If it be your hand, cut it off. If it be your foot, cut it off. It's better to have one. Come on, read. What did it say?
It is better for thee to enter into life half or maimed rather than having two hands and two feet to be cast into everlasting fire.
It's better to be maimed. It's better to be lame. It's better to have one foot, one eye, no foot, no hand. Amen. Than to have everything perfect and be cast into the fire. You got to know God is able.
Yes.
He's teaching us, amen, that we got these stumbling blocks. He let us know. We born into a world of sin. We call them stumbling blocks, but we know it's sin. We know that it's trouble on every side. We know that there's cliffs out there. We know that there's situations that's going to cause us, amen, to go overboard into a place, amen, that's undesirable. You don't desire to be there. But the stronghold got so much of a grip of you that you cannot avoid going. That's because, amen, something is lacking concerning Christ Jesus. Something about God, amen, is not being fed. Something, amen, is going on that the world has got more attention to you than God has on you right now. Something is taking place in your life, amen, that's keeping you from being focused. Something is going on in your life, amen, that's causing you not, amen, to mind the things that he said to do in his word. Come on, what did it say?
10th verse. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones.
Uh-huh.
For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven.
In other words, what God is saying here is that you better watch what you do to my children. You think about you as a natural parent. And somebody do something to your children, one that's helpless. Okay, they ain't got to be helpless. It don't got to be. I don't care how old they get. They steal you. You let somebody do something wrong to one of your children, you ready to act. God is the same way about his children.
Yes, Jesus.
He's going to protect us.
Yes, God.
He's going to give us everything we need. He's going to be our strength. He's going to be our peace. He's going to be our joy. And that's very important these days.
Yes.
It's very important always. But I'm thinking about our children and the things they go through and the things that they face every day.
Yes.
We got to know that, amen, God is there when we find ourselves at a critical point in our life. When temptation is about to take over in our life and it's continuing to go on and on, we got to know, amen, that God provides a way out. He may not come when you want him. But you got to understand that's a want. That's not a need. The need is he's always on time. You need him right now, and he's right there. You need him right now, and he's right there. Sometimes our need, amen, ain't in conjunction with what his word says. We need God to do things, amen, that we know is wrong. We know we're heading down a cliff, and we want God to bless that. I'll be all right. Come on, what the word say?
Verse 11.
Okay, now, here's where I'm going to draw from 11 through 14, amen, is where, amen, we're going to go, and then I'm going to get out of your way. Come on.
For the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost.
Mm-hmm.
How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, do he not leave the 99 and go off into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray?
Uh-huh.
And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray.